You have to wrestle with the ram. Let us pray. Yahweh, here we are again at this hour when your son Jesus and Jesus alone must be lifted up. For Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I, Jesus, will draw men or women or boys and girls unto me. So lift Jesus up right now. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. When this experience shall have come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Wrestling with the ram. We begin this month dealing with stewardship. And we said in this process of stewardship that God made a covenant with Abraham. He made the covenant with Abram, who eventually became Abraham. We said that in that covenant, God promised Abraham several things. The first is he promised to populate Abraham. You remember that? He said, I will make thee a great nation. We said the second thing is he promised to prosper Abraham. I will make thee prosperous or great. The third thing is he promised to make Abraham popular. I wish somebody was listening to me. I can just stop right there. If you plan to populate me, prosper me, and make me popular, that's all I need, God. But God doesn't stop there. He said, Abraham, I will make you to become a philanthropist. Not only will I make you to be popular and prosper, but I will make you to have so much you will begin to give away to others. Then God said, Abraham, I will give you peace. But not only will I give you peace, I will protect you while I'm giving you peace. And this is the last part. He said, Abraham, I will give you the power to transfer favor to generations unborn. Oh, I wish somebody would get excited about that covenant. He said, and I will do all of this while exempting you from the curse of sweat and tears. In other words, I will bless you in a way that regular people will not be blessed. This is not a covenant with everybody. This is a covenant of selection for comfortability. And in this covenant, God will give you all of these blessings without you sweating or stressing. But every covenant, brothers and sisters, is governed by law. And so God told Abraham that the law of the covenant of selection for comfortability is the law of tithe and offering. In other words, if you are going to stay in this covenant, you're going to have to tithe and you're going to have to give an offering. Now here's where the difference between a tithe and an offering is. We said the tithe is a tenth of all that God gives us, and it represents the all-sufficiency of God. When we pay our tithe, we are saying that I acknowledge that everything that I have is from God, and it is sufficient for my living. But the offering, on the other hand, is a response to the the blessings of God. In other words, the tithe is wisdom, but the offering is worship. All right, I'm going to say that again because somebody missed it. The tithe is wisdom, but the offering is worship. You have not worshiped God if you only pay tithe. What you have done is you have become wise enough to recognize revelatorily that God is the owner of everything in this world. What do you mean by that, preacher? Because you recognize God doesn't mean you are worshiping God. You remember Nebuchadnezzar, when he threw the three Hebrew boys into the fiery furnace and thought he was going to kill them. But when he looked back in the fire, he declares that he sees four people. He said, and the fourth person looks like the Son of God. How in the world can Nebuchadnezzar, a king of Babylon, the most powerful nation in the world, who did not know God nor regard God, that's why he put God's people in the furnace, how does he know Jesus and the one to declare that Jesus, the Son of God, was in that fire? It was because his eyes was open. He became wise. He had wisdom to acknowledge God. But watch this. He didn't worship God. He made a decree, oh, bless his name, that everybody in his kingdom should worship God. But he didn't say, I will join you in worshiping God. Because Nebuchadnezzar understood that he was also a god. But God was a greater God. And because the greater God overpowered him as a God, he told his people to worship God. Nebuchadnezzar does not worship God until God sends him out in the field for 7 years to eat grass like a cattle. So because you recognize God doesn't necessarily mean you are worshiping God. Oprah Winfrey recognizes God. She said there's a higher power. There's someone greater than me with all my money and all my fame and all my popularity. There's someone greater than me. But it doesn't mean she's worshiping God. So don't confuse worship with recognition. There's a lot of people that recognize that Donald Trump is the president of the United States, but they don't like him. They don't like it, but they don't have a choice because the people have spoken. You catch the difference? So when you bring your tithe back, even though it is a good thing, it is really nothing. Your tithe is saying, I got sense enough to know that God owns everything. Oh, but the offering, that's why God does not put a number on the offering. He says, bring me an offering as you recognize and acknowledge and appreciate my blessing you. So my offering may be different from Elder Proshia's offering. Is anybody listening to me? My offering will be different from Sister Milton's offering. Sister Milton's offering will be different from Sister Carter's offering because God doesn't bless all of us the same way. And even if he did, all of us do not appreciate God on the same level. Is anybody listening to me? So the tithe says that I recognize God as the possessor of heaven and earth. But the offering says I appreciate God for being a beneficent God. And that's a difference. That's why we have to bring both tithe and offering. And that's why, like I told you last week, nobody can tell you what offering to bring. So now we see that Abraham, who was Abram, has been chosen and selected by God. And God, the Bible says in Genesis 22:1, is testing Abraham. The King James says tempt, but that's not the Hebrew word. Because God doesn't tempt us. Most of us think God is like the state trooper who sits on the side of the road in the corner, doesn't care if you die, but he just wants to see you speeding so he can write a ticket. Because he has a quarter. He's not really interested in your existence, your safety, your welfare. Thank you, Elder. But he has a quarter he has to meet. And so he hides himself. If the state trooper really was concerned about your welfare, he'll be in full view. But he hides and sees you going by, and then beep, 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 he clicks you. And you're looking over and say, where'd he come from? And see, most of us have a state trooper mentality of God. We think God is just trying to catch us and send us to hell. She just lied. Gotcha. He just committed adultery. Gotcha. And so we come to God from a sense of fear instead of a sense of love. Oh, but I stopped by to tell somebody this last day in 2016, God ain't trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you. God is not trying to jack you up. Can I use that colloquial? He's trying to hook you up. So God tests Abraham. God wants to know, does Abraham really love me and believe that the promises that I have made to him, I'm able to keep? Because you got to recognize that Abraham failed the first test when he was not patient enough with God. Told him, Abraham, I will give you a seed, and this seed will be as the stars of the skies, of the heavens. Abraham is 90 years old or so. His wife is barren in the first place, and she is old, and nature has passed on her. And Abraham saying, I don't know how God is going to do it. Like most of us, we don't know how God is going to do it, but we try to help God. So Abraham listened to Sarah. You know the story. Sarah said, go on in there and sleep with that young Hagar, my maid, because we got to help God work this thing out. I told you last week, obedience is better than sacrifice. God wants us to obey him. God don't want us to do something extra. You ain't trying to prove anything to God. After all, everything that you do that is good, that God appreciates, he's the one who initiates it in you. So Abraham messes up, and you know how that story went. God tells him, get rid of Ishmael. And Abraham struggles with God, because Ishmael is his blood. Ishmael is the first child out of his loins. God said, let him go. And now in Genesis 22 and verse 1, God calls Abraham. And he tells him, he said, go in the mountain or the Moriah mountain range and I'll show you a particular mountain, and I want you to kill Isaac on that mountain. The first thing we see here is what I call the specificity of Yahweh's intentionality. Point number one, specificity of Yahweh's intentionality. Look at Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 1. Look at how specific God is. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, the one whom you love. Now, wait a minute, God, I got a problem here. This is not my son, my only son. I got another son, God. You told me to get rid of him. He's from my loins. Matter of fact, he's the very first one that I ever produced. And what God is saying to Abraham is no matter what you have produced in the past. Oh, I wish somebody would hear me today. No matter what pain or pleasure your mistakes of the past has brought to you. Is anybody listening to me as we are transitioning from 2016 to 2017? God is saying to Abraham, it may have been something that brought you pain and something that brought you pleasure and something that you still are dealing with the residuals of it. But if I didn't give it to you, you didn't have it in the first place. Because at this time, Abraham is still dealing with the struggle of letting Ishmael go. How do you throw out your own child at the behest of the woman that made you to make the child? And Abraham goes to God, and he thinks God will get on his side. He said, God, do you see what Sarah is doing to Hagar? This girl is a young slave girl. She doesn't have anybody. She doesn't have anything. She was the one who told me to have the child by the girl. And the girl's got the child, and the child is young. And now she's telling me I got to kick her out. And God said, yes, you got to kick her out. God said, because that's your mistake. The Sarah that you listen to make the baby is the same Sarah you got to listen to kick the baby out. And I just stopped by to tell somebody today, and I don't know who it is that God is sending me to talk to as we prepare to transition from 2016 to 2017. Whatever mess you made in 16 or 15 or 14 or 13 or 12 or 10 or 11 or 9 or 8 or even 20 years ago, whatever residuals of that mess you're still carrying around, whatever pain you're having dealing with it, or whatever pleasure and memories it brings to you, God said you need to let it go this day. You need to cut it off because it wasn't yours anyway. He said, if I didn't give it to you, then you didn't have it. You need to make like you never had it, like it never happened, like they never hurt you, like it, I wish somebody was listening to me. Turn to your neighbor and say, reset. God said, Abraham, you need a reset. You need a recalibrate. You need a fix as if Ishmael never happened. And many of us need a reset because we have a God of mercy who's getting ready to take us to a mountain of blessing. But before he can give us what he promises to give us, we got to do a reset. But I know he hurt you 5 years ago. I know she disappointed you 10 years ago, but it wasn't yours anyway. Turn to your neighbor and say, it wasn't yours. So stop crying over it. I'm talking about... look at what she did to me. It wasn't yours. Look at what they did to me on that job. It wasn't yours. Because if God didn't give it to you, if you use your own wit, you use your own smart, you use your own tricks to get it, it wasn't yours anyway. So God took it from you, or God made you to lose it. Get over it. Get yourself recalibrated. Reset your mind and begin to walk toward Moriah, because God's got a blessing there for you. Is anybody listening to me? Most of us are walking around here with 10-year-old pains and 15-year-old struggles and 5-year-old disappointments and violations and discouragement. No, 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 no. God didn't mean for that to be your child. He didn't mean for that to be your husband. He didn't mean for that to be your wife. He didn't mean for that to be your job. He didn't mean for that to be your car, your house. You got it without God. So God is saying, let it go, because you got only one right now. And that's Isaac, the one whom you love. And take him to Moriah. Here's Abraham. The Bible says he takes Isaac, takes the wood, takes the fire. And they're going 3 days' journey, Sister Wilson. And they get up there, and they're in the mountain range. And the Bible says Isaac asks a question. He said, Daddy, I can see the wood. I can see the fire. See, back in those days, they didn't have torches and lighters like we do. They lit the fire and they walk with it. He said, but I don't see the lamb. That word is the Hebrew word set, or heset, for the head is the definite article. The lamb, heset. And Abraham says something that you will not appreciate until you understand the idiom from the Hebrew. In the English version, We said, Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. But that's not what the Hebrew says. Abraham says to his son, Isaac, he says, Elohim yera ki heset. God will see to it that the lamb is revealed to us. Or I wish somebody understood what I was trying to say. God is not just a provider. He's a God who sees from eternity past to eternity future, and the blessing that God has for you that you haven't seen yet, because he hasn't revealed it in its tangibleness. God has already seen it, and he has it right in that place. And you need to get to the place so that you can get the blessing that God has for you. See, I like football. Now, I'm going to be careful as I say which team I like around here. But I think the way we're going, the Cowboys might go to the bowl, you know. But don't pay me no. Never mind with that. But see when the quarterback wants to send the ball to the tight end or the running back, or he doesn't show the ball to the player. He signals the player that I got the ball, I can see the ball, and I have a plan to send the ball to you. So what the player does, or the tight end does, is he sees the quarterback. The quarterback signals to him what he plans to do, and the tight end begins to leave where he is. I wish somebody was listening to me. to go to where he knows the ball is going to be, and he throws his hand up. It's worship. He's saying, I believe that you're going to send me the ball, and I'm going to get in that spot to catch the ball. And all of a sudden, the quarterback throws the ball, and the tight end is still running. Because the ball is not going to fall here. It's going to be an incomplete. The ball will not come here. He might fumble the ball. But this is where he's got to be to get the ball. So when he throws, are we somebody way hear me up in here? Abraham says to his son, Elohim Yera, Ki Hesed. God himself will see to it that we get the lamb, or that the lamb is revealed to us. In other words, I may not see what God has for me in 2017, but God has already seen it. He knows where it is, he knows how it is, and he knows where I need to be to get it. So if I just keep walking, I wish somebody would hear me today. Is there two people in here who can say, I got to start moving into 2017 because God is seeing where my lamb is going to be? I like English. Not very good at it, but I thank God for the Hebrew, because it changes the whole tenor. God will provide. No. God will see to it. In other words, God's got his eyes on my blessing. And it may pass you and come by you and come through you, but he's not going to let it stop, because he's got his eyes on it. And he's going to see to it that it gets to me if I get to the right place. Are you listening to me, reader? So Abraham puts the wood on Isaac's back. Now watch this. The word, or the noun Abraham uses for God, is not the noun that describes the relational God. He says Elohim. In other words, he's saying the Almighty will see to it. So they are going. They get to the place. Abraham takes Isaac. Isaac is probably about, biblical scholars say, maybe 20 or 21 years old. But Isaac has watched Abraham and his interaction with God. That when Abraham says to Isaac, you are the sacrifice, this 21-year-old does not fight back, does not resist. He lays there. And Abraham ties him up and places him on the altar. The second point that I want to share with you is that we must recognize the surety of God's ability. Abraham puts Isaac on the altar. He lifts his hand with the knife, and he's about to stab Isaac to death. And he hears a call. Abraham! Abraham! And he turns around, and the voice says to him, stop! Don't kill your son. Now I know that you fear God. Wait a minute. He doesn't say that you love God. He doesn't say that you have a relationship with God that is motivating you to do what you're doing. He says, stop. Sister Prochet, because I've seen that you are afraid of God. Abraham is worshiping from a sense of fear and not a sense of love. And God does not want us to worship him out of fear. But why is Abraham afraid of God? Because the place that God took Abraham from, Brother Hall, is a place where the culture and the people sacrificed their children for fear of the wrath of their gods. So when the harvest didn't come through, they will take a child and sacrifice that child to the fertility god because they are afraid. They want to appease the god. When no rain comes, they take another child and they sacrifice that child to the rain god. Abraham was used to killing children to please his God. But God was trying to say to Abraham, I don't want you to worship me from fear. That's why I said to you today, Berean, this church is not going to be a place of fear, but a place of safety, a place of security, where God's people, no matter who they are, what they're dealing with, what they've done, who they've done it with, can come in here knowing that God loves them. We teach too much fear of God. God is not someone that's trying to hurt us. He's the one always playing interference for us, keeping us from the devil, taking us out. Do you think it was God that made me blind for 6 months walking around here like a bat? No, it was the devil, because he was threatened by my potential. If I let this man see and read the Bible and study the way he does, he's going to wreck my kingdom. So God said, do it. Because you know what? No matter how much you make him blind, Sharon will help him. Jessica will help him. They'll do his research for him. They will get on the computer and find what he wants them to find. And then when they give it to him, he'll get up and preach and don't need no paper to preach it. So you try me now. Don't we have a God who loves us so much? He always comes to our aid. Greater is he that is in us than the devil that's in the world. So the angel say, you're doing this because you're afraid of God. He told you to get rid of your first son, Esau. And you did it, not because you love him, but because you're afraid of him. He told you to take this one. Now watch this. This is this man's own child now. We don't know where Ishmael is. God already told him to get rid of Ishmael. This man has left his country, Elder Jones, giving up everything to follow God to a place that God didn't even tell him. And this is all he got whenever he bumps into one of his kinsmen to tell him, you'll say I was crazy, but I wasn't really crazy because God told me, and look at what me and Sarah has done. And that's what God told him to kill. And if Abraham was not afraid of God. He would have said, no, God, we got to talk about this. If you notice, watch this. Read the scripture again. Read Genesis 22 when you go home. He doesn't even tell Sarah what he's going to do. Because Sarah was just like, one of your black women ain't here. Black mothers ain't here. Sarah's got that cane. That baby came in her late age. Everybody laughed at her, but God had mercy on her. And you talk about God told you that he would have started doing Abram like that with that cane. So when Sarah said, where are you going? He said, we're going to worship. What is true worship? True worship is giving up all you have because of your love for God. So he doesn't say, we're going to do a sacrifice. Sarah would have said, well, but where's the lamb? He said, we're going to worship. So Abraham hears the voice. He turns around to see what the voice is coming from. And here's the key to our message. The Bible says he sees a ram, Elder Lawrence. Not a lamb. Abraham says to his son, the Almighty Elohim will see to it that the lamb, the Heset, is revealed to us. But when he looks back, he doesn't see a lamb, Elder. He sees a ram. A lamb is a young sheep. Less than a year old. It is passive. It is submissive. It will not fight back. That's what Abraham expected to see. But he doesn't see that. He sees a ram, a male sheep, 3 years and older. With horns, trapped in a thorn bush. And watch this. God, Sister Adams, doesn't tell Abraham to offer the ram. He stopped him from offering his son. He said, I know. Now that you fear God. Abraham and Isaac could have gotten up and went back down the hill and business was over because God didn't ask him for anything else. But God said, Abraham, this test is not whether you fear me. I know you fear me. This test is whether you love me. Because when you really love God, oh, bless his name, you will go through any thorn bush. You will bleed sometime. You will be willing to be hurt to show God how much you appreciate him. That's why I told you the other day, God doesn't ask us to put a number on the offering. He wants us to prove to him how much we love him. So he said, Abraham, because I am the provider of everything that you have, I'm going to show you your blessing, but I'm going to leave it with you to do what you want. I'm not telling you to offer the ram. It's caught in the thicket. You see it? Do whatever you want. Oh, my brothers and sisters, as we move into 2017, that's what God is saying to you and me. I'm not telling you to offer anything. I'm making it all available to you. You make up your mind and decide how much you love me. Decide how much you appreciate my relationship with you. Decide how much I mean to you. And if coming to church at 11:30 is the offering you want to give, go ahead. If being too busy to come to prayer meeting with all that I have given you, the job, the car, the protection, do what you want to do. If putting $2 in the plate every now and again is what I'm worth to you, suit yourself. If waiting for somebody to beg you to sing in a choir is the reason why I give you that gift of singing, suit yourself. If not wanting to allow some dirty person to catch a ride in your Mercedes because they don't smell like you smell and look like you look, is the reason why you got the car, suit yourself. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm just revealing the blessing to you. And Abraham, Elder Jones, had to make a decision. Because the angel already said, I know you are afraid of God. So we've settled that. Don't kill your son. We've settled that. But can you move from being afraid to being his friend? In 2017, you've been coming here all 16 because you are too scared of what people will say or what God will do if you don't show up. God knows that now. But in 17, will you come here because you really love him? Will you serve because you really care for the relationship you and him have? Or will you do it because you are scared? Will you stop sleeping around because you're scared to get AIDS? Or because you love God? I know you don't do these kind of things at this church. I'm just talking to myself this morning because I need to hear this, Sister Paul. Will you stop lying because you're afraid somebody will find out? Or will you stop because you love God? Let me tell you something. God is not calling us to behavior modification. He's calling us to a relationship with him. And the reason our churches are empty today is we equip behavior modification with salvation. We said somebody's spiritual because they don't steal. They're spiritual because they don't lie. They're spiritual because they haven't gotten pregnant. But you don't know that their birth control works and the other people doesn't. No, I know. Please help me. Listen to me here. We judge people by what we see. And we run people away because they don't look like us and talk like us and act like us. And we set us as the standard instead of setting God as the standard. People walk in this church and they see a whole lot of Pharisees. And because they've never really ran into a good Christian, they don't know what to do. And they walk away saying, I can't live up to that. That's why we don't measure ourselves by each other. Because if I measure myself by you, there's something that will make me feel less a person, or something that will make me feel better a person. Oh, but when I measure myself by God, I am so low down here, I can't even see my way out. Thank God for Jesus. So. The first lesson that we learn from this experience is self has to die. The ram represents self. Because watch this, Sister Hall. Abraham has to go through that thorn bush. The thorn has to prick him. He has to bleed. And then this is not a lamb. It's a ram. This ram is not from Abraham's herd. This ram has never seen him. And I did a study on sheep. And they said when rams feel cornered, when they feel like they are threatened, they will charge at you. So not only does Abraham have to deal with the thorns pricking him as he's trying to clean his way to get to the ram, but the ram is waiting to charge at him. So he has to struggle with the ram. My question to you today is, what is your ram? What is that thing that you're struggling with? What is that thing that God has blessed you with, but is keeping you from loving God? What is that thing that got to hurt you when you try to part with it? Where is and what is? Who's that person that you're wrestling with? What is that thorn bush that you got to get through? See, sacrifice was never real until it cost the sacrificer something. If you read 2 Samuel chapter 24, you read about David. David has sinned against God. God punishes Israel when David counted the warriors, the army, and God told him not to. Then God sent the prophet to David and said, tell David, I'm going to forgive him. David's love and appreciation for God makes him want to give God an offering of thanksgiving and appreciation. So he goes to Arunah the Jebusite. And he said, I need to buy land so I can offer a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a sacrifice of appreciation to my God. And Arunah said, oh, king, don't worry about it. He said, I got the land. Matter of fact, you can take the whole threshing floor and you can use the wood and the cattle for the sacrifice. David said, wait a minute. 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 24. Read it when you go home. David said, I will never offer God anything that doesn't cost me something. That's what a true worshiper is. Most of us want to offer God stuff that don't cost us anything, doesn't inconvenience us, doesn't cause us a pain, doesn't cause us struggle. We want to just give God leftovers. Abraham didn't have to struggle with sacrificing Isaac because Isaac did not cost Abraham anything. Excuse my expression. Abraham did not have to share blood for Isaac. Sarah did. That's why he couldn't tell her that I'm going to kill your son. Because Isaac cost Sarah blood. But God is saying to Abraham, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm making the provision. But when you decide to do this, it's going to cost you blood. That thorn will prick you. That ram might butt you. You will have to bleed. You will have to struggle to give this offering if it is going to worth anything. And the Bible says Abraham walks toward the offering that God didn't ask for. And he bled. He was pricked by the thorns. He had to wrestle that animal down. He had to kill that animal. He had blood all over him. The animal's blood and his own blood. And then, watch this. Abraham changes the way he addresses God. At first, he said, Elohim Yara Ki Haset. The Almighty will provide or will see to it that the lamb is provided. But after he offered the ram, he says, Adonai Yari Ki Heset. Jehovah has seen to it that the land is made available. When he's afraid of God, he calls him the Almighty One, Elohim. But when he has a relationship with God that is based on love and appreciation for God, he calls God Jehovah. But the name Jehovah or Yahweh was so powerful that the Jews will not say it. They will only say Adonai. So whenever you read the Hebrew Bible and you see the word Yahweh written, you cannot say Yahweh. You have to say Adonai. And Adonai means the name that means the name. That's how deep the reverence of God was. And they say, from that day on, that mountain was called Adonai will see to it. Aren't you glad today that we have a relational God who will see to it? That in 2017, we get on our mountain and we are able to see the revelation of God and get the things that God has prepared for us. We were able to offer him sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise that causes us to struggle. Abraham asked, or Isaac asked, Father, I see the wood, and I see the fire, and I don't see the lamb. Where is the lamb? Watch this. Abraham says, the Almighty One will see to it that the lamb is revealed. 700 years later, what Abraham said that God saw was revealed when God chose to reveal. John standing by the Jordan turns and look. Just like Abraham turns his back and see the ram, John turns his back and see the lamb, and John yells, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I wish there were two people here who can bless God for his power of seeing from eternity past to eternity future. And he has the lamb. The lamb couldn't be Isaac. Isaac was born in sin, but Jesus was born without sin. But watch this, just like the thorn prick Abraham's hand to get the horn of the ram out of the bush, the thorn prick Jesus' head to get him to bleed so that you and I can be saved. He is the lamb that Abraham talked about. God gave Abraham a ram because he needed to struggle. He needed to let self go, and he needed to surrender. And until you and I can give up self and totally surrender, we cannot offer God a good sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice. But Jesus taught us, didn't he? In the Garden of Eden, I'm getting ready to close. He tells us, God, he's crying. If it is possible, don't let this cup stay in my hand. Please take this cup. Somebody said self. That was Jesus struggling with self. Just like Abraham struggled with the ram. Oh, but thank God. Jesus said, but. Somebody said surrender. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to make a sacrifice like this. I don't want to have to deal with this kind of hurt and this kind of pain. But God, because of my relationship with you, because of the covenant we made from the beginning or before the foundation of the world, I said I will have them put thorns of crowns on my head. I said I will let them stretch me high, lift me high, and stretch me wide. I said that I will let them pierce me in the side. I said I will let them bruise my back. I said I will go in the grave for 3 days, but then you will wake me up back. God, I don't want to do it, but not my will. Somebody said surrender. And that's what God is asking for you and me in 2017. We have to say, God, it hurts to do it. Oh, but because you've been so good to me. You've been so kind to me. You've been so caring. God, I want to offer you this sacrifice because you are worth it. Is there two people in here who can make a decision today that God is worth it? That God deserves our worship? That God deserves our praise? What happened to my pianist? He's so caught in the sermon, I guess. This brother's just looking at me. Can you start playing something for me? He says, here's the appeal. Here's the appeal. Here's the appeal. You've been paying your tithe. And I'm not talking about literal tithe. I'm talking about those things you do because you recognize that God is who he says he is. Now God is asking you, would you pay your offering? Would you give God what you think he's worth because of his benevolence toward you? 2017, what is your commitment? Is it to self or to selflessness? Is it to sacrifice? Is it to surrender? God is calling you. And here's what it is. He's not asking you to manufacture the offering. It's in the thorn bush. He has revealed it to you. He has made the provision. What you got to do is wrestle with it till you kill it. Struggle with it till it surrenders.